Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Armistice Day today on this November the 11th. We're glad you're with us here. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the air.
I'm struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you. We see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going
to
lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and I have some good news. If you are in the L.A. area, or you could go online to the website at KNBC, knbc.com.
This Wednesday, November the 16th at 5 or 11, and you'll see a feature on Every Man's Battle. We'll post the link here.
And they came in and they filmed guys going through this. They didn't film their faces. They filmed their feet. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's tonight, NBC Channel 4, if you're 704, if you have high definition here in Southern California, or you can see it, knbc.com. It's going to be great. 5, 7, and 11. We've been looking forward to this time. It's about every man's battle. So tune in one way or another. We're really excited. And
I don't think there's been a more successful program than Every Man's Battle in terms of a strategic weekend ministry that's offered multiple times a year. I have sent numerous clients to that, and I have not had one of them walk out of there without saying, wow.
Well,
it was an amazing experience, and it was life transforming.
Well, and people keep coming and calling.
It does the job,
but it changed the work I did with the couples that I work with, because that's what I do. I work with couples, and for that man to go to EMB and then come back as a different person, gives hope to a relationship.
Amen.
And I just got to tell you, we have to keep that ministry going without fail.
Amen. Well, I think newlife.com, you can find out about it also. You can see the story there. Hey, the President Woodrow Wilson first proclaimed Armistice Day in 1919. He said, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nation." So they celebrate this holiday with ravioli.
The
tradition dates back to the end of World War I, when Woodrow Wilson, aware the returning soldiers would be longing for some home-cooked meals, invited 2,000 soldiers to the White House and helped his staff chefs cook them ravioli, which has just become a mainstay in mainstream American kitchens due to commercial canning. In the Armistice Day address to Congress, Wilson was sensitive to the psychological toll of the lean war years. "Hunger breeds madness," he said. So have some Chef Boyardee ravioli out of a can.
I am all over ravioli.
We'll see how it goes. But thank you to all who serve, all who have died, all who have loved ones who have died, who have been injured. All of you, thank you for what you've done for this country. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. If you can support this program or you need some help, people are right there standing by. You can also give online. The need is always there. You know it's there at newlife.com. We'll take this break and come right back after this for more New Life Live.
Thank you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, let's go to the phones and let's talk with Wynn from Noblesville, Indiana. WQME is the station. Hello.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I am good. What's going on?
Well, hey, first of all, I just wanted to thank you so much for your vulnerability and your transparency. That's what gave me the courage to call today.
Well, what is happening with you, Wynn?
Well, as far as fear and anxiety goes, Steve, I am just really struggling right now in trying to reconcile everything that God says in His Word about trusting Him that He will provide and that He cares for us, that He has good plans for us. Because my family's in a crisis right now. I mean, we are 11 days away from being homeless.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
My husband is looking for work. Just yesterday I really felt like the Lord said, you need to be transparent, you need to be vulnerable, and you need to be willing to share what you're going through with a safe network of people. And so I started to reach out, and I felt God's love. People bringing warm clothes for my children because we don't have that right now.
My goodness.
But I'm just filled with, I mean, Steve, you know what we've been through. You know it's been a long winter.
And my goodness.
When I was talking to my husband the other day, I said, I know that God is able. And I even know enough about the character of God to know that He is willing.
Yeah.
But I need to experience that firsthand in my life so that I can say He's able and He's willing for me.
Right. Hmm. Well, and I know the thing they went through is Wynn came in to their daughter's crib at age 2, and she wasn't breathing, and they lost their daughter. And now to lose this, boy, this is one of those times where, you know, I feel so badly for you, and I wish there was some formula. I just know that like in the case of your daughter and this, that, you know, God, He doesn't promise no tears.
He
says, I'll wipe away your tears, but man, I don't want to hear that tears. When I'm crying. Milo, what do you think?
Well, Wynn, I appreciate what you decided to do, which was to take your journey to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says we're supposed to do that. And God limits Himself many times and says, I want some of your needs to be met by other people. I'm not just going to personally meet all your needs. I want the body of Christ to do that. I know we had a family in our home for 9 months that were in a state of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a life transformative 9 months. God did stuff there that would not have happened in all of us.
Right.
That would not have happened had that not occurred. And God actually used that as a powerful...
I have to tell you that we actually lost our home in June, and we've been staying in a friend's basement since June.
Well, my
goodness.
And I don't know how long, like I said, for us, we had a family with us for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just believe that with God's timing, He will use the body of Christ to help us network, find new jobs, be able to depend upon the body. And I think the average Christian doesn't know how to do what you've done here. And I appreciate you saying what you said, and I'm just trying to validate you in and say you are doing the right thing by making your story real and public and letting the body of Christ have the opportunity to respond, as we're told, to comfort, encourage, bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to encourage one another. And I think that's sometimes one of the resorts that we have that a lot of Christians don't rely on as much as they should.
Right. Now,
sometimes it takes us being in a really desperate place in order to be that vulnerable and open up. But I think also we need the body of Christ for perspective, because we get very limited, especially when our fear level goes up, our anxiety goes up. We can't think about what our options are. And sometimes when you feel like you've tried everything, you need someone else that says, what about this? Or what about this?
Now, are you, the people where you're staying, they're saying that you need to leave in 11 days?
We do, because they're putting their house on the market. And they're looking to move, and they both prayed about it separately and felt like they both heard from the Lord 30 days at the beginning of October, and so they have a peace about it, and so in that I have to trust that God has a plan.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to pray that there is going to be someone in the area that's going to let you live in their basement, and I just... I pray that that comes along and that you guys are not going to be homeless. There's no reason for you to be homeless. You're in a church full of people with resources.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I know this has been a tough, tough journey, and you're right. It's been a long winter for you guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Wynn, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Lord,
thanks, my angel.
Lord, I just pray for Wynn and her husband and the children, and I just pray that you will find housing for them. I pray they will receive it. And I pray that you will calm her heart, and that we just ask your blessing upon them. In your name we pray, amen. All right, I'm so sorry. Hold on. I want to send you some stuff, and we'll get it to you. All right, Wynn, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. All right, let's go to Christine. Boy, that is just a sad, sad story. Christine from Reading, Pennsylvania, WBYN. How are you?
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's going on?
About 3 weeks ago, I had to do an emergency crisis intervention for my husband, and he is now staying up at his parents', and I'm having a lot of stress and anxiety and fear and trying to cope, anxiety and trying to get encouragement. I've asked my home church for encouragement. They said, if you need anything, let us know. I said, I need encouragement right now. And they said, no, if he needs anything, let us know. And I could just feel my heart sink down into my gut. And I'm to the point now where I'm like a desperate housewife or a house warrior trying to figure out what I'm going to do, because he has not kept his end of the agreement to make calls or counseling. And he had come down. I had my grandson here last night and created, just with his drinking, he came to work and load wood and all that. And next thing I know, the house phone was ringing, and I answered. It was him. And I'm like, what are you doing calling the house? Oh, I was calling my mom so I can let her know I'm coming home. And I just, the anger, the things I wanted to say, I'm glad, and I thank God I didn't say, but what I really wanted to say, I would have had to repent for. So I'm glad that I didn't.
You bit your tongue?
Say what out of my mouth.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just so, at this point, I have been a widowed wife for 5.5 years, and I can't bury him. He's not dead.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
I'm in a grieving widow, and I want to move on with my life, and I have no income. I'm unable to work because of some medical conditions, waiting on, Social Security, and it seems like there are so many doors that are shut. I know that my Abba Father isn't forgotten about me, and it's kind of tough to have the encouragement to keep going when I reach out for help and the doors get shut from people who, have an esteemed position to help me.
Okay, and so tell us how we could help you. What is the question that you have for us?
What would be my next step in moving on with my life, and what that would look like for me? I don't know. I talked to an attorney about divorce. It's apparently is an unrepentant, adulterous, perverted man that just, I think I married Brokeback Mountain, if you will. Mm. I can't handle it.
Wow, okay.
So, Christine, you know, sometimes we want to know the whole picture so that we can kind of see the plan laid out. And a lot of times, most times, we don't get that. And so I don't think you need to know the entire outcome, but you're saying, okay, what do I do next? And that's the thing. It's like, okay, for today, what can I do to help myself? If a door is shut, where is there an opening? And so if it is to get legal advice, great, then you do that. If the people in authority at the church kind of turn their back, well, you go to people that you have personal relationship with, and you ask, you know, a few people to stand with you and help support you and to be kind of like your support team as you take some really difficult steps. And so it sounds like it's really going to be a walk of faith. You've laid some things out for your husband. He hasn't done that. And so now you have to make some decisions, some difficult ones that probably you didn't want to have to make.
That's right.
And that's where the anxiety is. We don't want to accept it.
I made difficult choices, but I made them, and I know I have to live with them.
Right.
And I've had such a low self-esteem, and I've been having a lot of counseling and help with my, you know, inner childhood trauma issues.
Good.
And what I have explained to some people that are involved in my life is I can't be with someone who's defiant and rebellious and is an adult child because, you know, it's just like a Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
When a person gives them a CD and the only thing playing on that CD is an AK-47 and people screaming in the background, that Vietnam veteran cannot take that well.
Right. Okay, so...
Right.
So...
So, so
okay, so here's, I'm sorry, Jill.
That's okay. So you're saying he's an alcoholic and he's an adulterer, right? And he's not willing to change from that. So I hear you kind of unsure whether it's okay for you to move forward, for you to be at wit's end. I think we always want to be asking God, you know, please intervene. If you would have it be differently, I'm open to that. But until I hear from you, God, in that direction, I'm going to keep taking these steps to move forward and protect myself.
And you know, it's sometimes easier to stay in the toxic situation.
It's familiar.
Because it's familiar.
It's
uncomfortable, but at least I know what the rules are, and eventually things seem to cycle through. And so she's been a widow, an alcohol widow, for 5.5 years. And it is there's a comfort to what's familiar, but now she's taken a move to do something entirely different.
Right, Christine,
which has now created a new trauma for Christine.
Now, more anxiety in taking those
absolutely,
steps.
Absolutely,
right?
Because it's harder to resist. Now, Paul and Barnabas had an argument about their second missionary journey, whether to take John Mark or not. And it was a Greek word, seismos, from which we get our word earthquake. And that's how violent the argument was that they were having with one another. And don't you know, as they each took off in their separate ways, their stomachs and tummies and heart rates and everything were probably all agitated inside. Because they took a course that they each believed was right. And so every time we take a turn, Christine, that is a step of integrity, which is what you've done, integrity. It's fearful because people say, well, truth, you know, that's a very noble thing. And truth is noble, but truth is risky. Truth got Jesus crucified on the cross.
Right.
And so truth isn't always easy, and it often involves conflict. And so, Christine, one of the things you may need to do is just simply float in that current and trust God that you did the right thing. And I think there's three people sitting right here that would say to you, Christine, you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to then deal with the ramifications of it. And it's hard to adjust to the new knowledge of somebody being bitter, unkind, having animosity toward us, blaming us, you know, casting everything.
Trying to pull us back into the old dynamics.
Of guilt. And all that stuff. To your point, Jill, I would also say that I would recommend that she get into some Al-Anon.
Yes,
meetings, because Al-Anon is a bunch of people that are all trying to deal with.
And it's free.
It's free. The gravitational field of the alcoholics.
And they have a greater capacity for long suffering, I think, because they've
thinking.
Been through it.
Yes.
All right.
We're sorry about that, Kristen.
Yes, indeed. I hope something we've said is helpful. And I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls. I hope that book helps you, because you're really up against one.
Mm-hmm.
We will. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of your phone calls here at 1-800-229-3000. And I want to read you an email from someone I got. I think you'll appreciate it. I sure do. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband. The amazing dad. The great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. I just received an email from a lady. She shows me a picture of her two children that she's had after 6 years of infertility and four babies of hers in heaven.
Wow.
And she says, I just donated a small amount. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I was scrubbing my floor, hearing you guys ask for help. My thoughts were, of course God wants you to stay on the air. It is the devil who doesn't want you to. God owns it all. I have no doubt he will provide. Have you listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman's song, It's All Yours, God? Well, you need to. I have listened for at least 15 years, and you guys are the dad I never had. Thank you for encouraging my life every day. I'm sure you weren't on for 15 years, Jill. Anyway, thank you for that. If you can help us, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website newlife.com. The need is always there. We ask you to help us stay on the air. We have tremendous financial pressure to keep current with our radio. So please call us if you would. Let's go to Paul from Dallas, Texas. Paul, KWRD is the station. Hello, Paul.
Hi. Just wanted to say, just have a comment. Just appreciate y'all talking about this subject. I think it's one of the great ways that the enemy uses to neutralize or make Christians ineffective.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
It keeps them from being you know, what they were destined to be in God, I think.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
I know people, and certainly some of this can be medical, but there are anxiety attacks and things like this that people have that I know I had that in my own life, and it was a spiritual deal, and
yeah.
I had to attack it that way. And so, of course, in that case, there were things going on that shouldn't have been going on in my life, and opened the door there, I think. But anyhow, it's I think this is a very, very important subject. Glad you guys are doing it and approaching that, and appreciate that. So
okay.
It's a huge deal, so thank you.
So when we are afraid, don't be discouraged. We've mm-hmm. got something that somebody wants, and it's Satan, and he'd like to have control again.
If we're consumed, he'd like us to be consumed in our anxiety and
yes,
fear.
Yes, indeed. All right.
Absolutely.
But, you know, some people have, I'd have to say there's what we would call normal levels or mm-hmm. or common levels of anxiety and
right.
fear
yes.
that we all experience. Some of us, however, have been imprinted and...
There's lots of reasons for it, right?
Regulated mm-hmm. or dysregulated by our parents growing up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had a you know, God bless my mom. She was one of the most wonderful people in the world, but she was a very, very fearful person.
Mm.
And as a small child, that fear was, I was always in an atmosphere of fear. So that as I moved into adolescence and childhood, I like Paul said, it was a preventer. Fear prevented me from risking.
Mm-hmm.
And it prevents you from becoming a person who's willing to risk and do God's will. But Satan loves to dig at our wounds. So if you have propensities toward depression, he'll dig at that. If he, he'll pick at that. If you're more of a fear-based person, he'll pick at that. If you're more shame-based person, he'll pick around on that one. He'll use things that are already there to go after you and to mm-hmm. take you and cut you off at the knees. He'll use your natural weaknesses to do that. The nice thing is that with risk, the Bible says that the mind is transformed, and
yeah.
we know from science that the brain has a neuroplasticity to it, which means I can begin to unbuild some of those neural pathways, and I can build new pathways, but it takes time to do that. And so, you know, that's been a battle
so
I've been...
So there's some times when we have to kind of sit in our fear and keep moving forward.
Yep.
And learn that it won't take us under the way we imagined.
That's right.
Right.
And we need to bring that fear into relationship with
Absolutely.
Other people.
Absolutely, yes.
So they can
help
comfort
contain
us. And instead of just seeing it as a current battle with the enemy, we also have to ask, how do I heal from my history?
Right.
And
but there's
a
lot of elements.
There's a lot of elements there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my personal journey associated with this.
Okay. Let's talk to Tanya from Antelope Valley, California. Hi, Tanya. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I love your program and am really comforted hearing you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I love what the last caller said from Texas, that it does seem like the enemy works hard at making us ineffective.
Sure.
Right.
Whenever
mm-hmm.
I think about it, I go, gosh, that's really the culminating factor there.
Mm-hmm.
I have too many questions, but I'm going to try to shrink it to a couple.
Okay.
One of them was fear and anxiety has been a big thing with my husband and I, and actually more my husband than myself. And we've been in a 12-step program, which has really helped us a lot.
Good.
There's issues, you know, alcoholic issues in the family, and I think we're facing them a lot better. It's not like they're taking us under. We're not necessarily talking about them.
Right.
But I have also noticed that one thing I would get upset with him about in the past was he would be really anxious, and I couldn't quite see why, and it was just like, everything really is going fine. Well, he has come to that conclusion now, and so I'm thinking, when we get anxious, how can we look back and look at the evidences that really everything was fine, and what we were fearing didn't happen, losses, and we have four kids, and we've been married 28 years. And now it seems like my strategy, almost like God's helping me focus on this, is to look back at the things that didn't happen when we were really fearful and the calamity that didn't come about, and use that as a kind of like a battling
right.
Tool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As a way to calm yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like a reassurance. It's like, gosh, right. All of that other stuff we were afraid of didn't happen. Why are we afraid now? But it kind of doesn't take it away right away.
Right. Okay, hold on. We'll talk with you some more. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Talking with Tanya about fear, anxiety. Tanya, did you have a question that we could answer further for you?
Yes, one more.
Okay.
Sure.
With regarding being in a perimenopausal state, I am wondering what are some typical fears and anxieties that I can be watchful for. I know some of them
That you would feel dead. That you would feel like a man and not a woman anymore. Don't you think those are things that... No?
That you would feel like a man and not a woman anymore?
Well, okay. When you're going through perimenopause, you might start to...
That you're losing some
you
of your femininity
freak out about
or
that.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to go with the extreme.
Do you relate to that, Tanya?
No, not that one.
No. Oh,
okay.
Good. All right.
Okay,
so
but
I'm wrong.
Think...
Scratch one.
Anxiety in general goes up during perimenopause.
Seems like it.
Yeah, it does. So things that normally you could cope with and handle, like you may notice that you have more anxiety, you're more anxious about things.
You know, Jill, I remember a show you and I were doing together some time ago where we said, just to live in this world, to be fallen creatures living under the curse, a world of futility, Romans 8, where there's futility and all creation groans, there is by virtue of that, an anxiety that all of us faces that's universal to all of us. There should be a level to which living under the curse should not be pleasant. It should actually create in us some level of angst, as well as aging and death and the whole concept of the body not working right. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that the outer man decays.
Right.
And the inner man is being renewed day by day. So perimenopausal questions are around the decay or the decline
the
of the
aging.
Human body.
And
the
that's what you
process.
Were saying, Steve.
Yeah.
That's
fear
what
of
I was
the
saying.
Aging.
Yeah. And it's such a good point
nice,
you raised, Steve.
Nicer way to say it.
But here's another thing, Tanya, you said that is really good. I love that you said, we're going to look back over 25 years and ask, did the catastrophes come true? And anxious people are catastrophic.
Right.
And that's what worriers do. What a worry thought pattern is we obsess and ruminate on something, and at the end of that worry trail is always catastrophe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm on a park bench homeless in Santa Ana, or my child has a car crash, or, you know, we're homeless, or we blah, blah, blah. These are the catastrophes that come with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so...
And we tend to build a wall, don't you think? We add catastrophe on top of catastrophe.
Well, sure, absolutely. And mm-hmm. so that keeps us, that makes us freeze right where mm-hmm. we are. We go, I don't want to go down there because of that. So, Tanya, I love what you said. You said, look, if I can use history and God's faithfulness to help me say, you know, many of the catastrophes never came true, that is one way. And one method of coping with anxiety is to make myself recount the history of the faithfulness of God, and that these catastrophic yeah. things did not occur.
Well, right, and to say, okay, so the catastrophe is one option of what the outcome may be, but there may be multiple options
yes.
in an outcome. So it helps you, I think, to consider other options.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the default is always catastrophe with the anxious person. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. And then to create a new paradigm for myself, no, I'm not going to allow, as a child of God, for it to always be catastrophe in my mind. I will not go there. And, you know, the Bible says in Philippians, whatever is right, honorable, lovely, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And certainly this history of God being faithful to you is one of those positive things that you can spend time thinking about.
Okay. Yes. Helpful?
Thank you. Yes, thank
okay.
you.
All right, I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a new little book called The Encounter. It's a novel based on two true stories, and I tell you the two true stories in the back after you read the little novel part. You can read the novel part on a plane. It's just about that big. Very small little thing here. Hope you like it. 1-800-229-3000 if you'd like to join us on the air. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or you could help us. That's the place to call. All right, let's go with Kathy. This is going to be a great call. I feel it in my bones. Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, how are you today?
Gosh,
great. How
no,
are you?
No pressure on Kathy here. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. I just know, Kathy, that this is going to be amazing what we're going to be able to do for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm very nervous.
All right.
Okay.
Well, this is a show on nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've called the right place. All right, how could we help?
I have suffered from anxiety myself, and I went to a psychologist and got help. I got books and strategies that really helped me cope with fear and anxiety mm-hmm. and my panic disorder. And my daughter, who is 14, has kind of dealt with these same issues, and I took her to a psychologist who's specialized in pediatric anxiety, and hoping that some of these same strategies would work. It doesn't really seem to be helping, and I don't know if it's time to have a medicine intervention. I talked to her also about the faithfulness of God and about, you know, that we can be assured that, you know, that in the end, that God has all of us. I can't reassure her enough to comfort her when she's especially
okay.
anxious and
right.
panicky.
So what do you guys think? 14 years old, you hear the situation of anxiety. Is mm-hmm. this time to consider medication?
Possibly. But, Kathy, I'm wondering, you know, this tends to run in families. You had it, so now your daughter is picking up on how to relate to the world. I can imagine as a mom that you're seeing your daughter suffer and you know the pain of that, and so you want to help her. And so there's almost perhaps an anxiousness in wanting to help her and to be helpful and to relieve her pain. But I'm wondering about kind of being with her in her pain and sitting with her and comforting her. Like, Mylan, I think about your comfort circle, you know, kind of holding her if she'll allow it at 14, or doing some things where you just can hear her concerns instead of trying to fix it. It's more the being with her in a different way than perhaps you've been with her her whole life.
So what you're saying, Jill, is you're going to comfort the right side of her brain, not try to logically talk her through in a panicky state on the left side. Because when our emotions are on a stampede, the left brain shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of goes offline.
Right, right.
So you're saying comfort the fear just mm-hmm. with connection.
Okay.
Right. Allowing her to express everything she's afraid about.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if the more, let's just say this is genetic,
okay,
runs in families,
mm-hmm.
and we know that there's some watching an anxious person, you're going to develop some anxiety, but let's just say it's both. It's watching an anxious mm-hmm. mom, and it's genetically predisposed. It seems to me that at some point you might want to consider medication rather than let these terror pathways continue to form in the brain and kind of set in. I don't really understand physiologically what I'm saying.
This is an excellent point you're making mm-hmm. because the more I reinforce a neural pathway, the deeper and stronger it gets.
Yeah.
It's like it builds a two-lane road and it says, you know, we're busy here. Let's build a four-lane
road.
Because anxiety feeds on itself.
Let's build a six-lane highway.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and so really, as you're bringing up the genetic component, I'll bring up the attachment component.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The parent is the first regulator of the baby's brain.
Yeah.
And if the parent is an anxious parent like I had, I was anxious from the moment I could speak words.
Yeah.
You see,
even before.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Precisely before preverbal, you know, from 0 to 18 months, there was an anxiety in me, and that's all mm-hmm. I ever remember my whole life. Now, I have had my life changed by being on a medication where like a SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. That's what that mm-hmm. means. It's an anxiety depressant or an antidepressant that focuses on anxiety. And what happens is it allows those neural pathways not to be reinforced as deeply as you're saying, this terror, because it is terror.
Right,
and
so that you're not in the moment of terror.
It stops that terror mm-hmm. circuit, as you're saying.
Yeah.
It gives your brain a chance to rest and start disassembling some of those neural pathways that have been so heavily constructed.
So all we're saying is it might be something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly.
And it would be a mild, low dosage that a psychiatrist, it would need to be from a psychiatrist who really understood kids and medication, mm-hmm. and it might actually help her physiologically. But you would only know that taking her to a very, very qualified
psychiatrist. Well, and talk with your psychologist, too, about it.
Right.
Okay. Work with her.
I thought I would do, but I've just become like her reassurance. I mean, she has to text me during the day and kind of unload her worries to me, and then I go, "You're fine, you're fine."
I feel like not helping her.
Jill is saying, let her put her head on your shoulder and just let mm-hmm. her cry one day.
Yeah,
and that's a very different approach than just saying, "You're fine, you're fine, you're fine."
Hi everybody, Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Ardwin here. I want to remind everybody that
this Wednesday, November the 16th,
on NBC, KNBC, that's in the Los Angeles area, there'll be at 5 and 11 a series on Every Man's Battle right out of New Life here. And if you, whatever part of the country, and you can go to newlife.com, you can see it there. You can go to KNBC's website, it'll be there. But we're excited about people seeing this and hope and pray that the floodgates open and many, many men will see this and say, I need to come. Or a woman will see it and say, you're going there, Buster. That it might be Buster that would get them finally there. Oh, she's serious now. She's using the word Buster.
By the way, do you know what today is?
No.
11-11-11.
11-11-11.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow.
Somebody should get married on today.
Yeah, it's easy to remember.
Yeah.
What is it? Let's see. What's my anniversary? 12, 12.
No, 12, no. No, it's not 12,
no,
12, 12.
11, 11, 11. Maybe I can. All right. I love you, love you, love you on 11, 11, 11. Emily from Washington, D.C., WAVA, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. How could we help today?
Well, I have all my life suffered from anxiety and depression, Mr. Mylan?
Mr. Mylan.
Yeah, Mylan.
That's what we call him, Mr. Mylan.
Or Mr. Marlin, too.
There's not a time when I don't remember being anxious.
Right,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
And, yeah.
And I've had several failed relationships, and two divorces, and now I have someone really who's worthy. A really worthy man in my life, and I'm just ready to just quit because I can't deal with the anxiety.
Wow.
You mean being scared of things actually working out, Emily?
Yes, being an adult. And I'm really scared. I'm working with a counselor, and if it weren't for her, I probably would have already stopped the relationship, which I did in the beginning, and then that I'll give this a chance, but I'm really, really
good, because this is exciting. There's chance for real healing for you as you work with your therapist and walk through this and don't run from something that could be really good for you.
Okay, so how could we help here?
Well,
I just don't know how to stop this trauma. If I could just reverse it, I don't know.
Jill, you're talking about the concept of desensitizing by running into it.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to take more risks. Those of us that are fear-based, Emily, we want to constrict. So we'll walk away from a relationship and we won't take risks.
Well, we create the very thing that we're afraid of usually, right?
But
exactly.
What it does is it relieves the tension because we get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you think it's always going to happen, by sabotaging it ourselves, we relieve the tension and we make
true.
It go away.
Mm-hmm.
But desensitization, you were kind of talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The value of that, of learning to lean in and taking the risk to try something new, could change her because she realizes...
Well, but she's not doing it in a vacuum. She's doing it in relationships.
Right.
So having somebody walk alongside her
right.
and then moving toward. And it's kind of like you take a step and then you stop and kind of evaluate. Okay, how does this feel? Am I okay? Okay, can I take another step? And that's how you do it, one step at a time.
How do I don't know how to bring this person into my pain without overwhelming them and probably
But Emily, you're the one that's overwhelmed. And what us fear-based people do is we project that overwhelmed feeling on others.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
And we assume they shall be overwhelmed just like I am. And that's not fair, because let's say this guy is really the good catch you say he is, then that means he's not going to be overwhelmed by your fear. And you need to trust. And I love what you're saying here. I'm going to bring him into my fear. I had some people, Emily, I'm like you, recovering. And I had some people take us to Europe. It was my first trip to Europe back like in 2005. And I said, look, I sat down with him. I said, I got to tell you something. I said, you need to know that I'm not a good traveling person. I'm a nice guy, but I don't travel well because of my anxiety. And I said, I'm going to do some things to help that. I said, but I need you to know I'm not the smoothest of travelers. And I said, do you still want to take me? And they said, yes, we'll help you through it. And I did, Emily, just what you are doing with your boyfriend. You're including him in the journey. And I don't think it'll be too overwhelming for him.
Well, and just like, Mylan, you were just saying it, it doesn't sound like you dumped it on them. You were kind of informing them, right? And so I think, you know, when we kind of own our struggle and our part, we're not asking the person to fix it and to, you know, it's we're not like the baby that we're dropping in their lap.
Right.
We're coming and saying, okay, I have this problem, I'm taking responsibility for it, but I want you to know about it.
And self-revelation leads to connection and leads to the burden being lifted from us and all sorts of benefits to doing it that way.
Emily, have you ever been on an antidepressant?
Yes, and I just got on anti-anxiety, and then I heard you saying about the SSRI. I have been on that before.
Did it help?
Because it did, but it just kind of numbed me, and I don't want to.
Yeah, some of them are sedating and help calm.
The one I have been on, or I've been on a couple, and they are not numbing, nor are they sedating. They allow a little bit more serotonin to be in your brain, which is something God invented. You know, it's not a human invention. When we're anxious and depressed all the time, we end up with depletions. And people sort of generically refer to that as a chemical imbalance. But in reality, what it is, it's a lack of something that God intended for the brain to have in there. So,
so you're not getting enough of what you need.
Yeah, that God designed.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let me send you a copy of this new little book, The Encounter. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. And then I'm going to send you Mylan's book, How We Love, and look at the different ways that anxiety in our childhood produces it in our adulthood really can be valuable for you. Well, we are a we are a ministry that exists because of supporters.
Your support.
We're a supporter of people.
And we are thankful to be here. We set up a line for you on this Thanksgiving season, during this Thanksgiving season, for you to tell us what you're thankful for. And the number is 888-NEW-LIFE, not 800-NEW-LIFE, but 888-NEW-LIFE, and we just record what you have to say, your gratitude, your thankfulness. Here's a thought. We've tried to do this throughout November. William Law said, would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not the one who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and as a heart always ready to praise God for it. Now, that's a saint, all right. And that's the way we've been here at this ministry. Whatever God wants for us, that's what we want. And we would also ask that if God wants you to give and support us, that you would do that. And if God isn't leading you, that no amount of manipulation or pressure or stress could ever get you to give to a ministry that you aren't supportive of. God loves a cheerful giver. And we ask people that are greatly cheered by lives being transformed to give to this ministry. If that's where you think you really want to be a part, maybe you've been hurt emotionally or spiritually abused, and you see people coming and receiving God's truth, and you want to be part of that, then support us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or going to our website, newlife.com. My thank you to Mylan and to Jill and to all of you who watch us and listen to us and support us. We are so thankful for you and hope that today you feel God's presence in everything that you do. Let's give Him all the praise and all the glory today. See you next
time.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.